Okay, today we're going to do Daf Chaf Beis Amid Beis. We left off, we just told the story of Yoshio HaMelech, how Paro Nechal came through town and wasn't planning on hurting or killing anybody, but then Yoshio HaMelech thought he'd be able to attack him because Paro Nechal trusted in his Avodah Zarah so much. So Yoshio HaMelech attacked and ended up getting killed and getting his body ravaged by so many arrows that his body became like a sieve. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Mipnei Ma Ne'enash Yoshio? Why was Yoshio punished in this way, that he was killed by Paro Nechal? Mipnei Shehayelo Limalich BeYirmiyahu, because Velo Nimlach. Yoshio HaMelech should have asked advice from Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and he didn't. My darash, what was the drasha that Yoshio HaMelech made on his own to decide to fight a war with Paro Necho? So the Gemara explains it was based on the pasuk v'cherev lo savor ba'artzichem. So he darshined, what does that mean? My cherev, that the pasuk is talking about that we're never going to have cherev in our land. What's this pasuk about? Ilei mecherev she'ena shal shalom. If it's talking about battles, it's talking about wars. V'aksiv, the pasuk already says v'nasati shalom ba'aretz, that there's going to be peace in the land. Ella afilu shal shalom must be that there's going to be no sword pass through, even a cherev shal shalom. But he didn't realize that his generation wasn't deserving of such a blessing that even a cherev shal shalom shouldn't pass through. So that was Yoshio's mistake. So main point number one, Yoshio's mistake was thinking that even a cherev shal shalom can't go through his town, but he didn't realize that his generation didn't merit such a bracha. When Yoshio died, Chazi Yirmiyahu Svasei de Kamarachshan. Yirmiyahu saw that his lips were still quivering. So Amar Shemechas Shalom Nusud LaMahagna Amar Agav Tzare. Maybe he said something because of his tsar. He said something that wasn't right against Hashem, and that's why Hashem is making his lips quiver even in death. So Gachem Deshame de Kamatztik Aledina Anafshe. He leaned over and he heard that what Yoshio was really doing was he was doing what we call Tziduk Hadin, acknowledging God's righteousness. Amar, he said, Tzadiku Hashem Ki Piu Marisi. Hashem is a tzadik because I did wrong. Pasach alei hahi shaitas, Yirmiyahu started speaking about Yoshio at that time, and he said, Ruach apenu, Mashiach Hashem. That it wasn't because of his sin that Yoshio died, rather it was the sin of the generation that caused him to die, as we just got through saying, meaning he thought his generation were great tzaddikim and deserved that bracha. He didn't do any real aveira other than not consulting Yirmiyahu to get a real pulse, a real finger on the pulse of the generation and knowing whether they're going to be zocha to quite such a miracle. Yirmiyahu HaNavi dedicated an entire chapter of Megillas Eicha, which Yirmiyahu HaNavi wrote as a hesped for Yoshio HaMelech. We even have Al Kina and Tisha B'Av just for the death of Yoshio HaMelech. It's an unbelievable emphasis on one man, how important that death was. Okay, so we learned in the Mishnah, Ma'aseh v'yadu zekenim Yerushalayim la'areihim. One time the zekenim came from Yerushalayim to their cities, and they were gozer a fast day because there was shidafon, a certain amount of shidafon in the town of Ashkelon. Shidafon means like wind blasted grain. So yibayulahu. So they raised the question, how much shidafon did they see? Kimlo tanu tvua, like a grain that could fill an oven, the entire inside of an oven, odilma klimo tanu pas, or maybe not the amount of grain that can fill an oven, but the amount of grain from which you can make bread that would fill the oven, which is much less grain. It's the amount of grain that would make bread that would fill an oven, because bread is made with other ingredients also, and the dough rises, etc. So tashma. So Gemara says, let's bring a raya from the following braisa. Kimlo pitaner. It says kimlo pitaner. So it sounds like from pitaner that it means an amount of grain that equals the mouth of the oven. V'adayinti b'ilu ki kisuya d'tanura odilu ki dara d'rifta d'adilei l'puma d'tanura. But still, it's a question. Does it mean like the covering of the tanur, which is even a single loaf of bread? Or does it mean that the amount of bread that could stick, that could fit all around the oven? So that much we're not sure. So main point number two, we're not certain what kimelot pitanur means, how much bread kimelot pitanur really means. Okay, we also learned in the Mishnah, va'od gozer tainus al sha achlu ze'evim, that they were gozer another fast day when wolves attacked and ate two children, rachmana litzlan. So amru l'mishum Reb Shimon Yotzadin, ma'isu balu ze'evim shnei tinokos ve'kiyum derech beis ri'i. One time two wolves ate two children when they ate them whole, and they and they defecated these children whole. The children weren't even digested. And they brought the story to the Chum to know whether these children are tamei tumas meis. They already went through the entire system of these wolves. And the rabbi said that the flesh of the children is tahar, but the bones of the children is tamei. So I guess another main point: digested children, digested humans, their flesh is tahar, but their bones are still tamei. Al elu matrin b'Shabbos. The following things we cry out in Tfilas Hanenu even on Shabbos: if a city is surrounded by goyim, or by a river, or there's a boat that's lost at sea. So Tan Rabban, Yerusha Kifua Nachrim, if a city is surrounded by goyim to do war with it, O Nahar, or a river that's going to threaten to flood out the whole city, Vechad Tzvina Matarefes Bayam, or there's a boat that's lost at sea, Vechad Yachad, not just lost at sea, that's precariously shaking at sea, Vechad Yachad She Nirdaf Mipre Nachrim Le, where you have an individual who has to run away from Gaim who are chasing him, or from bandits who are chasing him, or because there's a demon or something, a ruach ra, that's attacking a person. Al kulan yachid rashi the sagif esatzma b'taynis. For all these things, an individual is allowed to fast if he wants, even if it calms down, even if he's going to get sick because of the taynis. But the tzibur doesn't have to fast for these things. Rabbi Yossi amar ein yachid rashi the sagif esatzma b'taynis. Rabbi Yossi says no, he's not. If a person could get sick from fasting, he's not allowed to punish himself with the fast. Maybe he's going to get himself so sick that he's going to need other people to help him with tzedaka money, and no one's going to have any rachmanas on him because he did it to himself. People don't have as much rachmanas when a person is poor, but he did it to himself. Imagine you have a guy, takes all of his money, throws it in the ocean, or throws it in a fire, then says, "Oh, Nebuch, I'm poor, can you give me money?" Why would you ever give such a person money? Here's a person who had his health, he had food, and he decided that he wants to take a fast day, so now he's sick, so why should we help such a person? He punishes himself. Amr v'dam Rav, my time is Rabbi Yossi. What's the reason for Rabbi Yossi that he's not allowed to punish himself? The neshama that Hashem gave you, He gave us responsibility to allow that neshama to live, to give that neshama life. We also learned in the Mishnah, Shimon HaTimni said that af ala dever, that we even are matriya on Shabbos, we even cry out in anenu on Shabbos for dever. So yibayilhu lo hodilo chacham b'Shabbos avbuchal hodilo. When we said that the chacham didn't agree with Shimon HaTimni, does that mean they didn't agree that you can cry out on Shabbos, but on a weekday they thought this was a viable reason? Aldimu lo hodilo klal, or maybe they just didn't think this was anything. So tashma titanya matriyan al dever b'Shabbos ve'in tzorach lomer b'chal. Rabbi Chanan ben Pitos Talmidus Rabbi Akiva mishum Rabbi Akiva omer ein matriyan Aldever kol ikr, that even on a weekday you're not allowed to cry out for it. So it sounds like they disagree with the with Rabbi Shimon HaTimni entirely, that there are chacham that hold that dever is not something that's so unusual, it's not considered to be unnatural. Okay, so we learned in the Mishnah called Tzara Shlo Tovel Atzibur, that we also cry out for any tzara that we don't want to hit Klal Yisrael, except for too much rain. We don't want to cry out when there's too much rain. You don't cry for too much bracha. So Tan Rabban, I'll call Tzara Shlo Tovel Atzibur Matrin Ale Chutz Merov Geshamim. Do we assume that what we're trying to say is, or we are trying to say, that for every tzara that we don't want to happen to the tzibur, we should cry out for, except for too much rain? My time, why is it that we don't cry out when there's too much rain? Amar v'yochel v'yishen muspalalin al rov hatova. We don't daven when Hashem has done too much good for us. So rain is generally good. How do I know that we don't daven for too much good? Because the pasuk says, "If you call a meiser, al beis ha'otzer," and then the pasuk continues, "My ad b'li dai." What does the pasuk mean when it says "ad b'li dai"? Amar Rami bar Rav, ad sheyivlu sifsosechem ilomer dai. Until our lips get tired of saying enough already, that we're going to have so much bracha, it's going to be difficult for us. So even if we say dai, we say enough, and no one's going to listen to us, because you're not supposed to daven against Rov Hatova. So I guess we'll make that a main point, that we don't daven for too much, we don't daven when there's too much rain, because we don't want to bite the hand that feeds us. We don't want to daven that Hashem has given us too much goodness. It's like having too much money. You don't daven when there's too much goodness. Amar Rami bar Rav Yud, uvagol lematrin aleha. But in Bavel, for too much rain, we do daven that it should stop. Because if it rains too much in Bavel, it could drown out literally the whole place, because Bavel is in a valley. Tanya Namiach, we also have a brisa. Shana Shagashmer Merubin, Anshe Mishmar, Sholchan, Anshe Maimon. In a year where there was a lot of rain, the men of the Mishmar of Kohanim sent to the people of the Maimon, which is the Israelim, who daven in Shul for the Karbonos that week to be accepted. They would say, Tnuy Nechem Bachichem Shabagol, Shleye Bateim Kivrehem. Make sure that you're davening for the people in the Galdos, that they shouldn't, because of so much rain, that they shouldn't end up drowning, they shouldn't end up suffering from flooding and all the other terrible things that happen sometimes when weather conditions, when you have a high tide and a lot of rain, as we saw in this area not that long ago. Sholos Rabbi Eliezer, they asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ad hechem gesham yardim yispalu shelo yardu. To what point, what's the shear of the amount of rain that would come down, that we would have to daven already, that it's enough, that Hashem would have to make a stop? Amalehem, Kadesh Yamur Adam Bekaran Ofel, the amount of rain that a person can stand in a certain place, the Yeshach Sheikh Raglav B'mayim, and if the rain will come down and he could rub his feet in water, so that's a mabul already if it's that much rain. Vatanya Yadav, so Iba, doesn't say that he could shake his hands in the water, not his feet. So we assume that's the same amount of rain. That there does come a point where everything's going to get flooded, make that a main point. If it rains so much that everything's going to get flooded and it's really going to be a threat, so then we daven that it should stop. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Chana said, Didi Chazili Karen Ofel. I saw this place where the person has to be standing and still be able to feel the rain with his feet. That I saw exactly how high this place is, that we would have to daven for it to stop raining. To come out a yard, he rachav gamla v'nakad romcha biyadei mischazi yiniva, because a certain Arab merchant stood underneath this place when he was riding on a camel, and he was holding a spear in his hand, and he looked like under this place, he looked like a little worm, he looked like a little nothing. I mean, that's how high up this place is. Camel is very high off the ground. Here's a guy on a camel holding a spear high up in the air, and still corresponding to that place that was above him, where the water would have to go up to before we daven for it to stop raining, he looked like a tiny little ant. He looked like nothing. So that's how you know it's really got to rain a lot and flood a lot before you daven that the rain should stop. Tan Rabban, V'nasati Gishmechem Bi'itam. Pasuk says Hashem is going to give the rain in its right time. So Lo Shikora, it's not that the rain is going to, it's going to rain too much. Velotzmeya, not too little. Elabedin is like an average amount. Shekolzman shagsham merubin mitashin saaretz veinu motzim peros. If it rains too much, it ruins the ground, it muddies up the whole ground, and you can't grow fruits. Beitam means beleli revios beleli shabbosos. The best time for it to rain are lel revii and lel shabbos. Shekein matzino bimei Shimon ben Shetach shiord lem gesham beleli revios beleli shabbosos. And that's what used to happen during the times of Shimon ben Shetach. Ad shenasu chitim kichloyos, until it got to the point where little kernels of wheat were the size of kidneys. That's how big things got. Usaorim, and little pieces of barley, kigarine zesim, were like olive pits. They're much, much larger than barley normally is. Vadashim and lentils, kidinari zav, were like golden coins. Vitsarumeim dugma ledoros, and they gathered together and tied together an example to show later generations, lodia, to let the generations know, kama hachet gorim, how much our averos cause, how much trouble our averos cause, because when we do the will of God, look what He blesses us with. He blesses us with these gigantic fruits that could support and feed so many. So that's why they saved some, to show everybody how it's averos that cause our problems. Shnemar, avon esechem hitu eile v'chatosechem manu hatov mikem. V'chein matzinu b'yimei hordus. We also find this in the days of Hordus, that he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash that Ezra Sofer built, and he built a beautiful new Beis HaMikdash. Shayoskim Vinyan Beis HaMikdash, Shayyordin Gesham Belaila. They were, the Klal Yisrael was involved in building the Beis HaMikdash, and it would rain at night when they weren't working. Ulamachar, Nashra Ruch, Nispaz Rav, Mizar Chacham, Yatsu Amla Melachtan. And the next day, the wind would come, it would blow away the clouds, the sun would shine, and everyone was able to go to work in peace again. V'yadu Shemelech HaShemayim V'yadeim. And that's when they realized that this was clearly Melech HaShemayim, that by working on the Beis HaMikdash and Hashem making sure that the weather is perfect for it, that's when they knew that it was Meleches Shemayim. So I'll make that a main point as well. When they were building the second Beis HaMikdash, the renovations of the second Beis HaMikdash afford us, the fact that when it rained, it was only at non-work hours, that's how they knew that what they were doing was in fact Meleches Shemayim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, will pick up from Maisa Sheshalchu L'choni HaMa'agel Be'ezras Hashem tomorrow, from the story of Choni HaMa'agel.